When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to a movie club about a film a little bit more serious than some of the ones that have previously been covered, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And my guest, Tom Schwartz of Vanderpump Rules, is legendary for his love of the Turtles, which you'll hear about. And you'll hear about a lot more, including the Ooze and Super Mario Brothers, a few other things. Before we get into the meat of the sandwich, make sure to rate and review on your podcast app of choice. As you well know, the five-star review is the most sophisticated review, and you, dear listener, are a true sophisticate. And don't forget to subscribe. I mean, you probably already are subscribed, but if you're not, what are you doing? Why deprive yourself? So, subscribe, do the review and the stars. Also, follow on Twitter at Craig and Friends and on Instagram at Craig and Friends Pod.
As you're pulling up, queuing up those clips, I'm going to talk a little bit about why I'm here, maybe.
Absolutely.
Well, first, I'm here because you're my friend, and I love sitting down and chatting with you. Also, I love Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. So it's probably one of the first shows I ever fell in love with. I started with the cartoon, and then, you know, once the first movie came out, it like changed my life. Mm-hmm. I hear the kids using the term canon event online a lot.
Yes.
But it was like kind of a definitive formative moment in my life. I absolutely fell head over heels in love with the Ninja Turtles, in particular Donatello. I can say something great about all of them, but I always related with him. He's like, he's very lighthearted and he's witty, but also he's got brains and, you know, he's kind of a mad scientist.
Yes.
He's like a bit of a MacGyver.
Yes.
So he's brainy, right. But he's never pretentious.
Right.
He loves big words.
Yeah.
Like I just was watching Secret of the Ooze earlier again, just like nostalgia porn. I love that movie. We can talk. I know, like, now that I'm older, I think it's safe to say that Ninja Turtles 1, the first one, it's darker, it's grittier.
Yeah.
I like that more. But as a kid, when you're 9 years old, I'm telling you, Secret of the Ooze was where it's at.
Did you find that to be the superior film when you were a 9 year old?
Back when it came, I think it came out in 91.
Yes.
Either 1990 or 91 was Secret of the Ooze.
I think 90 was the first one. And then I think like Rush produced the second one because the first one was so huge.
It was massive.
But apparently they couldn't afford to retain April. They had to get a new April.
Yeah. Well, I've heard that the first actress. By the way, we can get into this and maybe psychoanalyze me, but I think I think my first crush ever was the second April O'Neil.
The second April, okay.
Not that the first one wasn't charming, but we'll come back to that.
She has a special, so each of them have a special something.
Totally. They're apples and oranges. But yeah, and the first one, the first actress, you know, I remember reading this, and you never know if there's any truth to it, but apparently she didn't enjoy the long working hours, and she was somewhat difficult to. She didn't enjoy the violence.
Oh.
And we're glossing over a lot of big things here, but apparently, you know, the difference between the first and second one, they were going to go with like the darker storylines for Secret of the Ooze.
Really?
But they got a lot of backlash from parents. And money talks. They want to maximize profits, and you know,
and Pizza Hut tie-ins.
Yes, but you know, ultimately they decided, like, if you go back and watch Secret of the Ooze, you'll notice that they never actually use their weapons.
No, okay. See, I've only seen part of the ooze. I was cramming it in today. I was cramming the ooze.
They like Donatello uses his staff, which is I think an underrated weapon as it is. And it's like when I was young, I didn't have access to scythes and katana swords and nunchucks, so I would take my broomstick and I would take the broom part off and use it and pretend I was Donatello.
I love that.
Knocking down you know, corn stalks in the cornfields and everything. Like I would draw Donatello. I had all of his action figures. I had all the action figures, period.
That's an original vintage Donatello.
This is actually the NECA remake. These are movie quality. Shout out to NECA. I actually have all the smaller ones and the bigger ones. They're in my storage unit. But I guess the second one now. Forgive me if I'm rambling here. But
no,
the second
not at
very
all.
Very near and dear to me.
This is what. This is why you're here. You are the spiritual expert. on this film, these films, on the canon.
I'm a casual fan, but at the time, I'm
casual
telling
fan
you,
does not have multiple Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles paraphernalia pieces in their storage unit.
I'm telling you, when I saw like the first one, changed the game. Maybe that was but the second one was my canon event.
So that was your movie. That was the one that really hooked you in.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm glad I watched part of it today then, because I had not seen it. But of course, we went to go see the first one at the New Beverly Cinema.
It was such, thank you for that, by the way. And by the
thank
way,
you.
Citizens of Los Angeles, Angelinos, if you get a chance, go over there on Beverly. It's a very special experience.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah, Quentin Tarantino, man. He owns another theater now, the Vista. Yeah, it's great.
It's on the east side, isn't it?
Yeah, it's Los Feliz.
Oh, Los Feliz.
One of those places, yeah.
Yeah. But if you could take you back for a second, you know.
Of course. Let's wind back. Let's throw ourselves back.
Back in 91, I was 9 years old. I was 9 years old, mm-hmm. and that opening sequence in Secret of the Ooze, it's like this wide shot of New York City, and then all of a sudden it's like a montage of people eating pizza all over New York City.
In the time since the first one in Secret of the Ooze, the town has just devolved into nothing but pizza junkies.
I'm telling you, I'm telling you right now, there was never a better commercial advertisement for pizza and New York City.
Yes.
I'm telling you, like, I have a spiritual love connection with New York City. It's my favorite city in the world, unequivocally. I love it there. I just got back. Especially romantic this time of year with all the Christmas decorations.
Yes,
up
it
and
is.
Everything.
It is.
But also, like, ever since I saw that opening sequence, I just wanted to eat cheese pizza and go to New York City. And
there's that one woman who you see everyone ordering the pizza.
Yeah,
and then she just takes that with wonderment. She picks it up like a cross between I've never seen this before and like I love this is my favorite part of the process.
Dude, I'm telling you, I look at pizza this just like I she's like my human spirit. She's my spirit human.
Yes.
And that was in Dino's shop, which is Dino's one of the, if you haven't seen Secret of the Ooze, he's like the delivery driver who ends up getting like becoming an ally of the Ninja Turtles. Anyways.
See, the kid is, yeah, the delivery guy who's dumped in the trash bin for safety and then just immediately pops back out. Like, does not like take good advice.
Yeah, exactly. But from that point on, I'm telling you, I've been enamored, smitten with New York City. And like, I was just there last week and I had 6 slices of cheese pizza, and every time I ate one, I was thinking about Ninja Turtles.
That's beautiful. Yeah, do you ever say like pizza dude? And also, I gotta say, I'm guessing that it wasn't Domino's pizza.
Not that there's anything wrong with Domino's. Domino's is one of my favorite pizzas.
The thin crust,
yeah. I fuck with.
Yeah.
But every time I ate a slice, I was thinking of like maybe like Michelangelo in Secret of the Ooze when he's like, this is Ninja Pizza. And Donatello goes, Ninja Pizza? And he goes, yes, pizza that vanished quickly. And then he eats a slice.
What are they pouring? Are they pouring like red peppers on there?
They're dousing it.
Because someone else is just pouring salt on their own. I'm glad the leaf blowers. You remember the leaf blowers from this building? The leaf blowers are like, he's taping again? Okay, good. Guys, come on.
So if you guys don't know, I used to live in this building with Katie, my ex-wife, who I'm still on great terms with. And Jax Taylor and Brittany lived here, and Craig lived here. And then we had some other friends in the building, Gershon and some of our other buddies, Rob. Yeah. Anyways, we were one big, mostly happy, semi-dysfunctional family, but the fucking leaf blowers, they used to wreak havoc every time we tried to film content.
Oh my God, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Or just be hungover.
Just about anything. Yeah, well, that happened a couple times to some folks in the building. I'm not sure. I can't think of anyone specifically. It was funny because there would be like turmoil of any kind, and it sort of spread in an S shape.
Yeah.
It would start maybe down the top of the hallway and your hallway, kind of creep down, then you guys might have like some kind of kerfuffle, and then I don't know if it skipped the second floor because we didn't know anyone on the second floor.
I know we had our own little soap opera going on in this building.
Yes.
maybe a different I don't want to divulge other people's secrets and other people, especially people that are not in the limelight, but we had some soap opera-esque moments in here,
and actually none more than my situation. which was like
we'll need a third party. That's a objective whole third party therapist. Or,
well, no. There's no objective. No.
Okay.
No. And we're not getting into it. And when I say mine, I mean when unwittingly involved. And you see, Donatello knows, and he even was so heartbroken he fell over.
Awkward.
Because he's like, guys, we're talking about me.
But another thing I always liked about Donatello is he steers clear of the drama. He's not hyper emotional.
Yes.
He keeps his emotions in check. He's stolid. And he's always got a quick witticism to sort of extinguish any lingering tension.
That's right. Yeah, he wants to make things better.
Yeah, he does.
And he doesn't, you know what?
He's kind of passive like me, but you know, he's not an idiot. He's not a pushover.
Nor
he's not a spineless jellyfish
yeah,
as someone
an idiot. Yeah.
I know would say occasionally.
Yeah, who's that? I can't remember. My head is so full of the ooze.
but we're jumping around a little bit.
Well, let's get back to that empty what do they call it? Ghost mall that the fight is in, because they're getting the pizza delivered to that, because is that their new base of operations?
I think so. And they realize that the clan is robbing that place,
and this is a new bunch of bad guys, because I didn't finish the movie. So are they related to?
I think it's an extension of the clan. I don't want to get fact checked here. See,
that's okay. Look,
I'm
fans,
not diehard. I'm just a very passionate.
That's okay. Look, I'm the guy who's like, does this happen? I didn't finish the movie, but we were supposed to talk about the first one. But I knew, even though I didn't know the ooze was your jam.
Listen, I'm sure I'm going to get a little flack for this, but you remember I was 9. I liked the lighthearted slapstick elements. You know what I mean?
No, there's no shame. There's no guilty pleasure problem. I don't believe in the guilty pleasures. It's just a pleasure. And also, it's a formative film for you. You got joy out of it. All I care about, and all anyone should care about with filmed entertainment or anything, any arts, do you get joy from it? Because there's a lot of not joy in the world.
Yeah, I'm telling you, when I watched it this morning, I've probably seen Secret of the Ooze more than any movie I've ever seen in my life. Just because when it came out and I had it on VHS, I watched it probably every day, at least once a day.
That's amazing.
And the first one too.
Yeah.
I would go back and forth. But listen, I guess I'm an advocate.
I'm
an advocate for Secret of the Ooze. I loved the cameo with Vanilla Ice. Again, I like some of the slapstick elements. It still had a lot of heart. It had like great witty banter. And also, I really liked some of the other antagonists. So everyone knows Bebop and Rocksteady from the OG cartoons.
Yeah.
This one had Tokar and Rezar, and it's actually like a wolf and a snapping turtle, and they get Super Shredder sort of coerces this mad scientist to create him some super villains to sort of combat the Ninja Turtles. But you know, they were kind of controversial back in the day, because purists were like, we wanted Bebop and Rocksteady, but like Tokar and Rezar were the shit.
Okay, now these were new characters for the ooze.
Yes, for the ooze.
And Super Shredder, this is Super Shredder because he's resurrected somehow.
He's resurrected, and towards the end of the movie, we're jumping all of spoiler alert if you've never seen it, he consumes the ooze. I won't tell you what happens after that.
You can tell us. You can tell
Super
us what
Shredder
happens.
Super Shredder is one of my favorite characters and favorite action figures of all time. And just the whole movie, man, from beginning to end, it's like, it's nostalgia porn. I know that usually has a negative connotation these days.
Well, no. I mean, porn is great. We know that porn is good for you. And so if it's nostalgia porn, that's fine.
For me, it makes me so happy. Like, I'm telling you, I try to keep my childlike wonderment. Sometimes it's hard in this day and age as we get older.
It's true.
Life comes at you quick. If you don't stop and look around once in a while.
Quick and fast.
It might pass you by.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry. Whoa.
Little Ferris Bueller quote for everyone.
Where did that come from?
Came from the deep, dark recesses of the nostalgia porn. That's a very interesting movie, and I'll be careful not to spend too much time on it, because I saw a few minutes of it at this Prince Charles Cinema in London marathon of movies. It was called a mystery movie marathon. I thought, great, suspense movies. No, it was a mystery as to what they were playing. That's why when I walked in and Back to the Future started, I was like, what the fuck is going on? This is not a mystery. Anyway, they ended with Ferris Bueller. And I left after 5 minutes. I saw it so many times as a kid. I was like, I know this movie inside and out. And also, Ferris is a frightening person. We'll do that another time if you want, but please respond.
No, you're right. Ferris was a problematic, but you know, I liked his
spunk,
his whimsical nature. But no, like when you watch it back, like I relate more with is it Simon?
Cameron,
thank you.
You're welcome.
I totally think Cameron and
Sloane
should have ended up together.
Yes.
I feel like, I feel like Ferris and Sloane were they were in love for sure, and it was a whirlwind romance, but I feel like it didn't have longevity. I don't know. I felt like Sloane and Cameron were kind of like soulmates, maybe platonic soulmates.
Yeah. Well, no, because they allude to something else, but see, Donatello fell over again.
Yeah.
He was out of frame, and he's like, guys, can you stay on topic? So we're going to go right back to the ooze, because what's more important than the ooze?
Yeah.
Not much, because that's where they come from.
Yeah.
And but the secret of the ooze, I didn't find out what the secret was. I will say that the canisters that are being used by RCA Records, is that who's behind it? CBS. what's the company?
TMIG, I think.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Is that so, right?
I think so. You know, I took notes. I can't find it, and you can't remember it. So therefore, it's left up to the fans to get upset. You know, because I'm sure there's some hardcore fans who are like, they know the canon. There's a full Ninja Turtles podcast.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Yeah. I'll look that up after I finish pulling these things up. But we'll go back. TMGI, I think.
That sounds right.
TMJ. Temporal Man. Yeah, Temporal Jihad.
Whatever it is. But
So when they show it, I'm like, oh, that's Voss Water. Like, Voss Water clearly was like inspired by the tubes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, wait. Oh no, it's my dad. It's okay.
He knows not to interfere with when it comes to the turtles.
Don't fuck with our turtle time. turtles in a half shell. Turtle now, power.
Did you have a TV in your room, or were you in the main family room?
We had even back in the day, I was fortunate enough to have a TV in every room.
Good.
That we had the old school ones, you know.
Yeah.
That weighed about 500 pounds.
Yeah.
Like this thick. You needed two people to carry them. But I'm telling you what. I was so grateful to have one, and I was grateful to have a VHS player, too.
Oh, me too. Look, my whole life is based on that, having those, and a brother who worked at a video store would get me anything they want from a store that never got rid of anything. Back in the days before Blockbuster, they would have shops like that. MediaMedic, shout out to a store that hasn't existed for 20 to 30 years. The TV reminds me of that scene when one of the bad guys, maybe the main bad guy, or I don't know, his junior assistant, throws a knife, ninja style, at the screen, and it just sticks in there. Nothing happens. Doesn't blow up. It doesn't shatter the screen. That's how sturdy those things were.
I know, for real.
Yeah.
Those things were invincible.
A 4K would just crumble.
100%.
But, I mean, I'll take my 4K, because I'm willing to bet that there's not a knife getting thrown at that.
No, a strong breeze comes in here. That thing's toppling.
Oh, right. Yeah, if you don't have that thing, how many TikToks have we seen where that shit happens?
Yeah, I don't want to drive your listeners crazy by jumping
around. No, this is all about you and the movie
around.
Club. Well, I do that a lot, but tell me what it is and we'll see.
Well, you know.
I'll have a tasty bite of pizza.
We pre-gamed with pizza, as you should before you sit down and have a, you know.
Ninja Turtles talk.
A casual chat about turtles in a half shell. but I remember I was very obsessed, and I loved the cartoons, and I loved drawing when I was a kid. I used to draw like a comic book. I used to create my own comic book characters, but I would always come back to my first love, which was Voltron and Ninja Turtles. Like, I would be sitting in my class all day. I wish I had my old sketchbooks, because I would draw all of them, and I was obsessed with them, and I would sort of create my own little, you know, like I said, I didn't have access to like pawn shop nunchucks or size or sharp katana blades, but I would sort of improvise my own, like, size.
Yeah.
I would make them with like duct tape and like a piece of wood.
Wow.
And you know, I did, like, I remember making a bootleg katana, like I said, I used to unscrew the broomstick and go out into the cornfields. That was like my main jam.
Uh-huh.
And
how long would you spend out there, and like, what would you do? You just whack the corn stalks down?
Yeah, I would whack the corn stalks down, and I remember I had been doing this for like 2 months, and it was like my version, it was like my 9-year, 10-year-old therapy. It was my
release.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I just didn't know it in the moment, but I think it was as blissful as I've ever been in my life.
Yeah.
I wouldn't go deep in there, but eventually when my parents found out, they came out and assessed the damage, and I had knocked over a significant percentage of this man's cornfield.
Oh, so it wasn't even the family's cornfield.
Up in Minnesota and Woodbury, yeah. And I remember getting scolded. I remember that being one of the first times in my life where I felt like humiliated and ashamed. Oh, it was a very visceral feeling. And I remember, like, they let me know that I was way out of line and there was going to be consequences. I think I got grounded. And
that seems like a groundable offense. A
couple weeks.
Yeah.
But I listen, in their defense, I think I knocked down, like, if I had to guess, maybe, like, I don't know, like 4,000 or 5,000 square foot of corn.
Wow.
I
can see that. Well, your dedication and also, you know, the angst of kids your age.
Yeah.
So this is great because this is giving the full picture. Like, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles weren't just a fad that was happening that you clung on to.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with that, especially when you're a kid. That's what being a kid's all about. But they were your safe space. You escaped into the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle universe. And I'm so happy that you had the cartoons, the movies, and the Coming Out of Our Shells VHS. Did you have that?
No.
Did you go to the tour?
I vaguely remember a weird Christmas special.
Wow, they even did one of those.
They did. There was a lot of crossovers. There was like a Ninja Turtles rock and roll show. Maybe we can splice that in here.
That's
at some
what
point.
It was. Coming was, out of our shells.
Was that what it is?
Yes, they toured. They did a full tour. And they had on the build a phone and an album, of course. An album, I think, on MCA. Let's see. I do have a note here that magically disappeared. So they had a ghost singer, surprisingly. Yeah. Because even if the actors themselves sang, that would be muffled.
Yeah. I mean, like we got to give a shout out to the puppeteering in that film.
Yes.
In my opinion, it's some of the best animatronics and puppeteering that I've ever seen. I think it holds up great, don't you? And
Both one and two. Both of them.
Yeah.
Both of them. And the first one was directed actually by a legendary music video director, Steve Barron. He directed Michael Jackson's Billie Jean.
What?
And A-ha's Take on Me, which is one of the greatest videos of all time, objectively.
Craig, thank you for that little tidbit of knowledge, because I did not know that, but it makes sense now because it's beautifully shot, beautifully lit, beautifully choreographed. I love how kind of dark and moody it is, and it also, you know, it makes me fall in love with New York, and it's just, I think it's a classic, and I watched these movies probably at least once a month.
Well, and, really? Yeah. Wow, I didn't know that you still watched them that often.
Ninja Turtles 1 and 2 at least once a month.
What was your opinion of 3?
So those Turtles in Time, right?
I think so.
So I need to go back and rewatch it, but I remember I just never connected with it.
Yeah.
It was kind of strange.
Yeah.
And I felt like there was a lot of plot holes, although at that age I wasn't really concerned about plot holes. The storyline seemed kind of weak, and it seemed like they churned it out to make a buck, but I'm gonna go back and watch it again.
That was the common complaint about the stage show, because it was a rock show but there was also a plot. I'll throw some clips in there.
Thank you.
There's a Shredder like character, but he's just like, he looks like the guy who played Drop Dead Fred, Rick Mayall.
Love that movie.
I love that movie too.
Yeah.
Now, okay, that brings me to something else.
Well, here we go.
Yeah, how did this get made? A show that you would love. I didn't realize you would not enjoy their episode on Secret of the Ooze. I thought that you would find it to be a gas.
Craig, I just called you Greg. Craig, you sent me that episode, and that's blasphemy.
I saw the look of rage, hurt, and a betrayal on your face, or the feelings of betrayal, because you're like, Craig, you did that to me.
The thing is, it will forever be sort of protected in a little shell of my youth and my
shell is very appropriate, by the way.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Nostalgia and
naivete.
Yeah. And just the innocence and the, like, you know, that's pre-internet, pre-cell phones, early 90s. And it was a very happy moment in my life. That I'm not happy now, but
I can understand your feelings on that.
Yeah.
And I can't remember what you said right before I brought up the HDTGM, but you mentioned another thing, and I'll probably remember later and go, curses. But that's the nature of Movie Club.
Yeah.
And this is great. We're going deep background on your love for it. And
we could talk about, at 9, I don't think, you know, I was chasing after the ladies. But I think around that time, I started having an appreciation for the other sex. I know that sounds gross.
No,
when you're
no,
like a
no,
young
no.
man
Doesn't sound gross. It's not like you like hassled some girls on the street, and then when they rebuffed you, say, hey, "Well, fine. If I do, I'll go after one that's thinner." Paraphrasing.
After Secret of the Ooze, I was catcalling anybody that even resembled April O'Neil.
I was like, "That's how you get the broads." Ugh. Yeah.
But no, I just you know, if someone was to ask me who's your first crush, on screen or off, I would probably say April O'Neil.
April 2.
Yeah.
Now April there was 2. An April 3.
I don't remember her.
But, you know, mainly she was featured in the Coming Out of Our Shells VHS, yeah. Which, hilariously, I accidentally kept out, because I was going to copy it as a goof, like, years ago. I was like, this is wild. This will never come out on DVD, and I don't think it has. It was not well received. But it was shot at, like, a 15,000-seat arena, and it was packed with kids who I don't think are enjoying it that much, because even on the videotape, which they could have sweetened for audience response, when the mad scientist kind of guy is like, I'm gonna get them, ah, ha ha ha, there is no reaction. They didn't even bother to like dub in like a ooh boo or applause or anything. I think the kids were just shocked and stunned, and the parents were probably like, Jesus, is this what's going on these days?
I'm glad that wasn't my first introduction to Ninja Turtles.
No. And so involved in that is another April. And they went on a slew of talk shows around this time.
Really?
And they had different, they did not look like they did in the film. Yeah. Probably because they would like drop dead if they were walking around for that long.
Yeah, they were super hot and uncomfortable.
And sexy.
They had limited visibility and, you know, because, you know, they were pretty sophisticated. The electronics within the heads were fairly sophisticated.
Yes.
And they had puppeteers helping control, like, their facial movements and stuff while the actors were acting and doing the choreography and the stunts in them. I don't know if people know that. But
the Jim Henson troupe.
Yeah.
I can't remember the full name of the company, but they did a lot of that stuff for every movie around that time that featured something like that. I think they might have been involved in Gremlins. Yeah. I'm not sure. Oh, the VHS of that. When video stores were sort of on the way out, they'd have like sales, you know, like buy three for $5. I would go in and buy a bunch of stuff. And then I saw some that they didn't have for sale, but I was like, I'll rent this and then we'll come back. Forgot to go back for weeks. The guy that was like my buddy there, who was like, hey, I'll check that. I'll see if we have that. Or maybe we could sell that one to you. He was so mad. He was looking at me like a serial killer. Like, if anyone's seen Manhunter, it looked like he'd turned into the bat, like Dollahide. When Dollahide just changes, the Tooth Fairy. They remade it as Red Dragon, so I don't know if you saw that.
So bad.
Oh, you'd love Manhunter.
Yeah.
You would love it, because I know you love to live and die in L.A.
Yes.
I mention it every episode, but I will not continue down that path right now. So, it was one of those amazing things, like, you're kidding. You're going to get upset and then tell us that I actually owe you $85 for a title that has not moved once in 15 years. I'll give you like $20.
Oh my God.
We never returned.
I remember this. Okay. This is another little tangent.
Yeah. Well, that's what, go for it.
Sandoval. You know, when I first got here in 2009 and I was living just south of here on Kings and Melrose.
Oh, that's right.
With Sandoval and Jax. Blockbuster was still here and a Blockbuster night was still a thing.
Like, wow.
We made it. We had so many great Blockbuster nights. Me, Doty, Jax, Tom, and the occasional straggler. But I remember when they finally started puttering out and officially went out of business, Tom was so relieved because he was the king of late fees.
Oh, why am I not surprised?
Tom is a legend in his own right, but one thing he's not known for is his punctuality. man, there was times and we were broke, you know? So when you're broke and you have like a $120 late fee, it's a big deal.
Oh my God, it's so huge. Yeah.
It's like anxiety inducing, and we used to shame him over his late fees, and I'm sorry for that, Tom.
Well, isn't that the kind of thing where they have your card on file so they can just fuck you over?
Yeah.
Fuck you over or like take what's rightfully theirs, I guess, is what that's also called.
I can't remember why, but he had a way to evade it. Like he had canceled that card.
Oh, yeah.
So they
kept
telling him they need a new card on file. Anyways.
But then was he able to still rent after canceling?
I don't think so. So me and Jax would rent.
A little cycle around the mulberry bush.
Tom's
there.
Got a great memory. If he was here, he would weigh in on it. But he dude, that guy always had a late fee. But circling back,
I guess if you always got a late fee, you're going to figure out how to get around it. You know what I mean? So now we're going to hear a little bit from Vanilla Ice because he has some revelations about what his participation was supposed to be in the film.
You've got a part in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles too. Yeah. Can you tell me about that?
Yes. I got the part. They called us first. They asked, they said, hey, we want you to do this movie, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
They called you? You mean you didn't just call and go, hey, do you have a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie in the making? Could I be in it?
That's a good point.
Anyway, yeah. Back to Mr. Van Winkle.
Yes. Yes, we've heard of it. And I had to actually take off 8 days from the tour, from the Hammer tour, to go film this movie, which I had to do. I mean, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, come on, it's huge. So I had to do that. So I went and did it. It's great. Had a big set made up for me, a big stage and everything. It's Vanilla Ice. It's cool. I played myself in the movie.
No shit.
Are you a fan of the Ninja Turtles?
Yeah, I watched part one, which y'all haven't got here yet.
He's doing an interview in Britain. They don't know the movie. They have not seen the movie.
Yeah.
So that's a weird thing.
And
that
it was
happens
sweeping the nation in America at that point. It was a bona fide blockbuster.
Sensation across the nation.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, honestly, that's one of my favorite parts. I know it's kind of like campy, but the choreography is on point. And
is that Go Ninja, Go Ninja, Go?
Go Ninja, Go Ninja, Go.
Go Ninja, Go. Yeah, right,
it goes like
right.
This is like this one.
Oh, yeah, there's a full... I remember seeing the clip. Yeah, I didn't get there because I didn't complete the Ooze challenge, but hey.
And like, you know, they're like... You know, they're doing some old b-boy dances and they're beating up on Tokar and Rezar. And like, even the scientist finds himself like fist pumping at one point. It's such a vibe. I love that scene. Apparently, it took a long time to shoot that. They had to do like 30 takes per scene.
Angle and stuff?
Yeah. Just because, for a variety of reasons. But
we got a concert scene, which is notoriously difficult
to
shoot.
Tons of extras.
And you got four guys in fucking huge, crazy outfits. They probably had to pause every 30 minutes, go pass out, come back.
Exactly. And in order to preserve, like apparently in the first one, there's a few scenes where you can see the actors inside of the suits.
Really?
And they didn't want that to happen again. So they sewed up the eye slots so they could barely see. So they had limited visibility. And if you go back and watch, it's like pretty intricate. Not an intro, but pretty elaborate choreography.
Yeah, and like, it's not like camera tricks.
Yeah.
You see them actually doing it, and I wonder how many times Vanilla Ice did that move, that little Temple of the Syrinx move or whatever.
That was peak Vanilla Ice.
Oh, that was Zenith. I think after that, how do you follow it up? Yeah. He put a live album out.
Yeah, he did.
Like a live album? Who wants a... I don't know who wants a Vanilla Ice album, first off, okay? But granted, a lot of people did. A live Vanilla Ice album? He has one album and he does a live album. That seems a little dodgy to me.
I know what I'm listening to on the way home.
I just watched an interview with him recently and someone said, has Eminem ever discredited you or said anything bad about you? Because, you know, he clearly was, something was influenced of your... You were clearly an influence on him. And he said, nah, man, he's never done that. And like, I think it would not be good for him, but why would he want to do that? He wouldn't want to do that. I'm like a huge international phenomenon to this day. Like, new people are coming up to me. If you look at the old charts, there's like people, if you look at it, you'd be like, who's that? I don't remember who that is, but people know who Vanilla Ice is. It's great. Like, he's re-embraced it. He used to get embarrassed. Now.
You're right. He went through a phase where, you know, the world turned on him.
He even smashed the original 3/4-inch master videotape on MTV, the one that they had. Did you see that?
I that was the beginning of the end, or maybe that was towards, you know, he started falling apart. But I got to say, I don't know if you've checked in on him recently, but he is, he's like a general contractor and he builds and flips homes and he's like a, you know, he's great with his hands. He has multiple TV shows.
Yeah.
I see him popping up and he's tight with some of the Adam Sandler crew and man,
okay.
He's made a great comeback. He's very successful now. And, he has a good, attitude about it. If you guys get a chance, if you go on YouTube, you can watch him watching his old video, Ice Ice Baby.
Oh, yes. Is this when he had the long hair?
Yeah. But it's cool to see him where he's at now as an older man. I think he has kids.
Oh, it's now. Good. Yeah, okay. Because back then, he was really fucked up about it.
He hadn't watched Ice Ice Baby in a long time. So it was fun to share that moment with him. And but like, you know, it's easy to rag on that now. But like when that shit came out, it was kind of hot.
Well, it was huge. And then what was that other song by...
Wasn't there lawsuits involved with Queen and everything?
Because they didn't even bother to like check in with Queen and David Bowie. And then they made a settlement. But there's another interview where he's like, oh man, they're suing. Like, he bullshits about it in different ways on different interviews.
Yeah.
That's a fun time. If you want to go down a rabbit hole, folks, and if you're listening to this show, more than likely you do, go check out Vanilla Ice on Arsenio Hall. Arsenio Hall is not that fond of him.
Yeah.
And... It's pretty good. It's a good time.
Yeah.
Arsenio was a pretty spicy guy. Now, let's listen to a little bit of this because I think there's some interesting information. For as long as he spent on the movie, and thanks for clearing up why. I remember it being like 8 days for that.
Yeah.
Makes sense now because also with concert films, anyone that's listening, not concert films, like Stop Making Sense, which is actual document of a thing, they got to shoot it from every angle. Mm. And that means they got to do the section by section by section. They got to do coverage. The Muppet face might fuck up, or mm-hmm. something falls. Maybe the big sign that said Vanilla Ice, so we knew who he was.
Well, there was significant stunt scenes too.
That's
while
right.
There was choreography,
yeah, that's right. They're beating
dancing,
up.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
So
here we go.
Yeah,
right. For a year in the States, and we just did part two, which will be released in the States March 23rd. So, but I'm sure you'll get the soundtrack because we got the theme song for the soundtrack as well. It's called Ninja Rap. It's not really ice, you know what I'm saying? It's more, the song is made more for the kids, but the beat is slamming in it, and it's slamming. It's good dance tune. It's real hyped.
I like how he has to say, like, it's not really ice, like distancing himself just a little bit.
I loved what he said, actually.
Yeah.
Because it is a slamming beat. It's very catchy. But yeah, it's obviously geared towards the kids, as was Secret of the Ooze in general.
Yeah.
That was a hit song in Ice. I think he wrote it. He says he wrote it in 30 minutes. I know it's not like.
No, but still, you know. It's fair dues, you know what I mean? It was a big hit.
Yeah.
It worked for the movie.
Yeah.
It doesn't always get. It doesn't always happen that way when someone writes something.
Sometimes
for a movie, sometimes it's like, nope, come back to us. Nope, yeah. Come back to us. What's the MC Hammer connection to Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles? Because I always thought that he did a song for the first movie.
Did he? Wait, can we live fact check this?
Yeah, please do. Okay. And while you do that, I would like to play you something from an interview with Megan Fox about one of the recent ones.
The Michael Bay one.
Go ninja, go ninja, go. Go ninja, go ninja, go.
Oh, how did Vanilla Ice not even come into my brain until now?
He should have been in this movie. Don't believe me, I campaigned for that. He should have been on the soundtrack. Next time, buddy, you better be at the premiere on Sunday. Like, he is a king.
She says that like he's being negligent. Like, it's up to him. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you better be there because we're all waiting on you. Well, you know what? I don't think they've invited him. I don't know why, but yeah.
I gotta say, I want to keep it positive, but
I just mean like it's up, you know, producers.
I was
going to
pivot. No, I was going to say, first of all, Megan Fox was lovely in that movie, as she is in every movie, but I think it was Michael Bay's rendition of Ninja Turtles, that portrayal, characterization of them, like their physical appearance and everything, was by far my least favorite of all time.
And that was live action, right?
Yeah, it was. Yeah. It wasn't live. It was.
It was
CGI.
Oh, okay.
I think
that's difficult.
I just did not like what they did with them. The rebrand. I kind of see what they were going for, but...
Oops, sorry.
Oh, it's okay. Well, I was excited.
Yeah, it was good. It sounded like the Ramones, yeah. But, yeah, so that's a shame. I think Megan has a couple other things, and just because it's great that... I love these junket interviews, because sometimes the person is just like, oh, sure. Like, they either have an opinion, or it's forget about it. There's nothing going on. You've been on plenty of those.
Yeah. And sometimes I have to smile and pretend I know what you're talking about during your references, because they're so obscure. And I'm just like, fuck.
But a junket...
Oh, yeah.
You know those.
Yeah.
I've seen some clips where I'm like, God, that's a bad question. Yeah. And you're like, well, and you're trying because you're a nice guy.
Yeah.
You're trying to help them out.
Yeah.
So let's see.
He is a king. He is my hero.
RVWs. He's too busy building.
Oh, right. He has such an interesting name. That should have been his hip hop name.
It should have been, actually. Do you hear what we're doing here?
Rob Van Winkle, we are planning your future career right now.
Listen in this room.
Rotten Tomatoes and the girl from the Turtles movie. We
have
for you.
High fives.
Gee, I wonder if they ever followed up on that.
He is in a lot of movies now. I see him.
Oh, no, he is.
He's in a lot of comedies.
I love that thing where they're like, we're really invested. We want to bring you back. You're like, when you walk out of this interview, you're not even going to remember you said this. Like, there's no legitimacy to what you're saying.
I have a feeling, and maybe this is wishful thinking, or maybe this is like some form of preliminary manifestation.
Okay.
But I'm not the only one, because I see it in the depths of the internet, down in the sewers. No. This is a pretty common...
Would this be the depths of April's house in the second one instead? Because they need a new base.
Yeah. Wait, we got to come back to that. But there's a lot of people that are just hoping, rooting for a new live action one with animatronics and puppeteering. Mm-hmm. And that's like as gritty as, maybe grittier than the first one. You know what I mean?
I could see that. And the first one is really gritty. Like you pointed out, I really noticed it this time, but when we saw it at the theater, I was like, wow. Like I didn't realize it was going to be that gritty and realistic. I mean, outside of the obvious things where it's not. To that point, I love how Elias Koteas, you're not even like, what is this like weird vigilante man who then beats up the hero, but also is nonplussed by the guy who is just, you're just wearing a mask and green makeup. Like, wouldn't that be weird enough if you're like, this guy's wearing fucking green makeup and a mask and a trench coat. I got to get out of here.
By the way, I have that by NECA. I have that that special action figure set. It's actually Raphael in his trench coat.
Yes.
And it has Casey Jones. I tried to find it, but I think it's in my storage unit again. But I got to say, that was one of my favorite scenes in the entire movie. And also, I think Casey Jones was a great character. Apparently, the reason they didn't bring him back was like I said, for the second one, Secret of the Ooze, they were trying to make it more lighthearted.
Yes.
And he was, you know, kind of
dark.
Yeah, he was dark, and man, I'm sure it's not the last time we'll see Casey Jones
or talk about him.
Yeah.
Because Elias Koteas, he's great in so many movies. Some Kind of Wonderful,
dude. He's a really great actor, mm-hmm. and you know what? Let's keep manifesting. Okay, what's his name again?
Elias Koteas.
Elias Koteas, the essence, the heart, the grit of the first one.
Yes,
directed by, and this is gonna be his last movie. Wait for it.
I know who you're talking
Wait
about.
Wait for it.
Who? I know who it is, I think.
Why did I just go blank?
Quentin Tarantino. That's what you're going to say. You were going to say Quentin Tarantino,
yes,
weren't you?
Quentin Tarantino.
Because he has one movie left.
Quentin, I know you've probably already started, but like, if you ever see this.
Maybe he could produce it.
Can you imagine how good that would be?
Produced by Quentin Tarantino, presented by Quentin Tarantino.
Think like Kill Bill meets like Ninja Turtles 1.
Oh, I was going to ask.
Wow.
I was going to ask. This is always a funny thing people say. I was going to ask you. Well, I'm asking you right now. Maybe that's better to say. So I'm going to ask you right now. Was there ever a Kill Bill style origin story, even though we see the origin story of Splinter, like of sort of longer expanded universe thing?
I think in the comic books,
okay,
they were a lot grittier. And I gotta be honest, full disclosure, I don't want to be a poser. I never really had a chance to read.
Can't
the comic
help rhyming.
Books.
That was a sick rhyme, bro. I don't, full disclosure, don't want to be a poser. That'd be good for like the new action live action one.
Thank you.
Produced by Quentin Tarantino, maybe directed. Maybe he'll break his rule for this film.
Vanilla Ice is taking notes right now.
Maybe there's a new coalition of good guys. The scientist from the other one, because they turn him, right?
Yes.
They turn him into
he
a good guy.
An ally.
So him, Rob Van Winkle, a.k.a. Vanilla Ice, perhaps billed as Rob Van Winkle as Vanilla Ice.
Mm.
And then Elias Koteas, the three of them, the triumvirate, they help in the, in things like going into the offices so they won't get scared, that sort of thing. Making an LLC for them.
Wait, we have a good thing going right now, and
we
I don't want to ruin it,
well,
but this is maybe a little selfish of me, but could we like add some ooze in,
oh, there's gotta,
in the new
yeah.
Quentin Tarantino live action?
Listen, this is a collaboration. Okay. This isn't a one-way
just
street.
Just a little bit of ooze. The whole story doesn't have to revolve around it.
No, it's got to be there.
Okay.
Do you think that there would be like a threat of the ooze doing something, or there would be a funny scene with the ooze?
I think a funny scene. Yeah.
Okay. Maybe they think there's a threat, and they're like, oh,
yeah.
Okay, a cappella.
Yeah, maybe... Maybe
Bossa Nova. Maybe
I don't know.
Think
about this.
We got to workshop that, but we will.
We'll woodshed that.
It. Yeah, we will.
My brain
Plus, we got to get in touch with Quentin, and maybe I don't know who's going to direct it. Maybe Eli Roth if he produces it. Well, we'll get into that later. We'll get into that later. Look, I'm sure it influenced everyone just as much as it did you. Now we're going to hear them on Regis and Kathy Lee. Now, this is the touring company version, so this is for coming out of our shells. And I particularly enjoy this because Regis and Kathy Lee, they're like going along with the premise that this is like a real thing. That's how big the phenomenon was.
They're committed to the bit.
They're committed to it, and you got to hear Regis like, oh, wow, so great. I really enjoy this. You guys really sound good. Oh, wow.
What's the average age of the kids who come to see you guys? Well, you know, it kind of ranges from 04, 05, all the way up to 17, 18 years old.
Really?
We're you happening. Guys, they're into it.
Are you guys still living in the sewer?
Oh, well, there's no place like home.
His voice.
I mean, you're making all this
money.
It's time to relax.
Now, let's get real here.
Well, now, you know, that's not all about money here.
Let's get real here. Kathy, there's nothing real about what you're talking about. So
his voice is like an abomination. No offense to that voice actor. But I remember... Who was the first guy?
Who was that? Because I know one. Donatello was Corey Feldman.
I'm glad you said that. Donatello was Corey Feldman, and I thought he was great. But apparently, you know, I don't think he did the second one.
I think, and I have to find this interview. I was trying to find it for today. See, Donatello fell down again because of the sad news, the sad story about Corey. He's the true Donatello.
Honestly, I couldn't agree with you more. This is speculative, but I vaguely remember. They were trying to like clean up Secret of the Ooze, and I think he was having like he was in the news. You know, with some substance abuse issues.
Oh, when he got caught with like 35 balloons of heroin?
Maybe that was it. I thought it was 34, but whatever.
Oh, forgive me. No, you're right. It wasn't. It was an even number. I forgot. Sorry, Corey.
No, but I think you know they wanted a squeaky, clean, fun, or light, more fun, lighthearted, and that's the reason I think he didn't come back.
I think
who knows?
So.
It could have been a negotiating money thing, but...
And if it was a negotiation thing, it's like, guys, you just made like an outrageous amount of money on a basically low budget movie.
Yeah.
And it's New Line Cinema, who also at the time had the Nightmare on Elm Street series. So they were just like printing money.
Yeah.
And they were doing quite well. And it was this and that, and there was some other franchise I think they had.
And it's still a multi-billion-dollar franchise. Ninja Turtles is here to stay. It's not going anywhere.
I really didn't have any idea that it was still an ongoing concern. Remember I told you, or I sent you a photo of the billboard, and I was like, oh, wow, what? Yeah. I just thought it was a reboot, and I thought... Wait, the Michael Bay one. They did a second one, right? There was two of them of that.
Yeah.
And it's like Spider-Man. They do it every couple of years and they just go back to the origin story.
Yeah.
Because there's no other comics. They don't have any other stories like they do with Superman. There was a second one and I wish I had the, I'll drop this in later. Is that from that?
I'm showing off a deep cut.
Well, tell me. Explain.
Only purists will know. This is Usagi Yojimbo, and I think he's a character from an entirely different comic book, like an entirely different universe. But at one point, by the way, I'm going to get fact checked on this. My memory's shot, but I think Donatello created some sort of like time travel portal machine, and he was able to get Usagi Yojimbo to come through the portal and help them out. I don't know, but anyways, he was always one of my favorite characters.
Uh-huh.
Check him out. This is from Nickelodeon. Oh, this is from NECA as well.
Actually, wait, show it one more time.
Yeah, can you see that?
Tilt it down just a little. There we go. Yeah. There we go. No glare on that one.
Yeah.
Spotless. That's beautiful, and that's the original package, folks. No damage. It's new old stock, so check your eBay listings under Tom Schwartz.
NACA, NECA, they make the coolest, like most lifelike new toys, and I love that company. I spent a lot of money on those
toys. You're keeping a storage unit basically just for those.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Would you rotate them out, or do you rotate figures. Them out? Let's see. Yeah, that's good. That's good. Perfect.
These are the Mutant Mayhem ones, the Seth Rogen joint, and I think they did a great job on that one. You haven't seen it, but it's animated. But it's animated in like a contemporary way that it's kind of like. Have you seen the new Into the Spider-Verse, the animated one, animated version?
No, I've heard about it.
It reminds me kind of that. And anyways, it was awesome. Check it out.
Check it out now, folks.
Check it out now.
I don't know why I just looked at your camera.
Yeah.
I was like, check it out now, folks.
This
is my camera.
I commanded
it. I should know that. So the two Michael Bay films, they were going to make a third. Second one didn't do so well. And really, I know you're happy about that because they would have just continued in that vein. This is the one where it had live action people, but there were CGI. Is this right?
Honestly, I've only watched it once. I really wasn't feeling it. Maybe I need to go back and give it another chance.
Well, there was an actor who was fairly well known at the time. I think they got all like fairly well known or medium tempo, if you will, or medium heat actors. I'll drop this in later because I don't have it handy.
Yeah.
He said that they were treated so poorly on the set that they were treated like furniture.
Mm.
Yeah, it was. It was with Megan Fox. That's right. Because he said Megan Fox got driven home. We were the last ones to get driven home after the crew, after the props.
Yeah. Wow.
And they had some kind of terrible contract where they were promised residuals, they were promised all this stuff, and they just kind of got screwed. They were promised bonuses, but anyway, this is not the original one, and we don't want to besmirch the legacy.
Thank you.
My pleasure. I sensed that it was perhaps going a bit too far, a bit too dark. Now, do you know that not only were they on Regis and Kathie Lee, oh, by the way, let's just hear another second or two of that.
Yeah, I'd like to.
Well, so just two of them talk.
No, the other ones are, they're resting their voice for the show. Because they have to sing a lot in the show.
Have they opened a cross country yet, or is this their premiere opening?
This is the opening at Radio City, and then that's the kickoff of a 40-city tour. Boy. And we're also going to be on pay-per-view cable on October 3rd.
Uh-huh. Well, how many weeks did you have to practice, rehearse, to get this show in shape?
How long did we practice, guys?
Well, we've been working on the music for a long time, but in rehearsal, I guess about 4 or 5 weeks.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
They're perfect.
Are these bulletproof vests, or what is this over here?
Hey, dude, stay off my shell.
Maybe dude, stay off my shell.
Yeah. Okay, we'll remember that.
Well, all right, guys. Thanks so
we
much.
Wish you a
good
great
luck.
Opening.
Yeah, great opening. Not Wednesday night at Radio City.
The legendary Radio City Music Hall, in case anyone just gets too high-minded about what they think or have too high of an opinion of Radio City Music Hall, you got to pay the rent. You got to pay the rent, you know?
Well said, Craig.
Thank you.
Well said.
Thank you.
That was awesome, by the way. That was a treat. You got any more?
I do. Because not only were they on Regis and Kathie Lee, they were on Oprah. They were on Oprah, and there's a special, like, new beginning to the show, like a cold open with them going down the street like, oh, wow, there's the studio. And that voice might be even better than the ones that they're in there, because they were just like, just put another guy in there. It doesn't matter. And what's Shredder's assistant's name, his secretary?
Oh, I can't remember. The guy with the shaved head.
The guy who's like, I'm in control now.
He's always very...
He was like the Speaker of the House when Reagan got shot. He got a little too excited.
Yeah.
Donatello again, like, oh, there you go. See, everything's better now. He is so dubbed in the ooze, and they're not even careful about it.
Yeah.
It's maybe the same guy, maybe not. And I'm like, his lips aren't matching.
Yeah.
So, you know, they put a lot of love and care into that character. They were too busy dealing with the turtles.
Yeah.
So I'm going to pull up the Oprah one.
Oh, dudes, we're over here. Here's the door.
All right, dudes, all right, come on.
Oprah, here we come.
Oh, no, man.
Oprah.
Uh-oh, the door is locked. They love Oprah. They got to see Oprah. So we're going to skip ahead to, let's see. They play a song. The sound mix isn't that great. We're coming out of our shells. It's a coming out song.
Leonardo?
Yeah.
What instruments you play?
I play the bass, one string guitar, and it's hooked up totally awesomely to this microphone here, and I'm just jamming all the time. Hooked up remote, when it's time to boogie, you know what I'm saying, it just goes all the way.
What? Why did Donatello sound like Homie the Clown?
Couldn't they get anyone to just go, hey, yeah, like it's not that hard with, you know, the suspension of disbelief because you can't see the face. Like you could get someone to kind of sound like Corey Feldman. No offense, Corey. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like you're an indelible presence in entertainment.
I just wanted to say that.
10 seconds, please.
The one thing about the being a reporter, it's hard for me not to analyze. And the good thing about these guys is that they're not black or white, they're green.
Okay, here's a question, yeah.
How, if you live down in the sewer, is there any water comes down?
Well, of course there is.
Lots of it.
You know, matter of fact, when we sublet our sewer, you know, when we left New York, the guy came in, had a real problem, dried everything out.
Wait, that almost sounds like Jeffrey Ross. I got to do some research. If that's Jeffrey Ross, every roast that he's on, everyone else has some new ammunition. I want that to be. Let's say it's Jeffrey Ross. Why not?
I would love to get them on the show. I wish we had a special guest, just one of them that was on that tour, just to speak to like what that experience what was like and how it sort of
shaped their decision to leave show business or
Yeah. Anyways, I might have to do a deep dive later.
Yeah. Well, because you got to be careful. You put anchovies on this thing and you're in big trouble, dude. Okay?
By the way, never thought I would say this, especially, you know, coming... I'm a purist. Cheese pizza is my favorite, but...
It's still your favorite.
I've had anchovies on a pizza and it's pretty fucking good.
I keep wanting to. Back in the day where it was on every menu, I'd go, oh, that's horrible, right?
Yeah.
Then I go, wait a second, I've liked anchovies and whatever I've had them in. I want to get an anchovy pizza, or at least can I have half of it with anchovy, just in case it's a bad idea? And I have not been able to find it on most pizza menus. So I don't know. Maybe it's a West Hollywood thing.
I'll get an anchovy pizza with you.
Let's do that. Let's do that. After the show. Yeah. And we'll report back. We'll do a special call-in on that one. We'll call into the Oprah show and see what's happening over there. That's, if I ever met Oprah, that's the one question. I'd be like, do you remember that do you remember that Oprah episode? That's the only question I'll ask her. Technoglobal Research Industries. That's what it was. Yeah, but they had a four-letter thing,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, hey, look, they weren't going to... So the movie must have been rushed out after that. Yeah.
They were anxious to get it out because they wanted to capitalize on the success of the first one, obviously. Yeah.
This reminds me. The sandwich shop where they have the big fight, or at least it's in that food court or the abandoned mall.
The opening sequence.
Yeah, the opening sequence.
Or not the pizza, but the fight scene afterwards.
The fight scene after the pizza celebration.
Yeah.
The sandwich shop has very reasonable prices, which then I thought, well, that makes sense because everyone's addicted to pizza now. They're junkies.
Yeah.
They don't buy the tuna fish sandwich. That's old. That's last year.
Yeah. Also, it was 91. And
yeah, that's true. Gas prices were lower, and so was a tuna fish sandwich. Was $3.50 a good deal in 1991?
I think that's a great deal.
Yeah.
Even with the, let's fire up the inflation calculator. But
yeah, exactly.
I mean, dude, the average sandwich in West Hollywood is like $16 now. I mean, that's on the low end, maybe.
Sometimes in England, we'll find something, and I go, that right there would be $16 to $17 at Earth Cafe.
Yeah.
It's bananas.
Yeah.
But
Earth Cafe's worth it.
It's the environment, right? The history, we have some of that. Wait, no, it's okay. I'm looking for the thing. Hold on one sec. Oh, yeah, Steve Barron also directed The Human League's Don't You Want Me. One of the best, coolest videos because it's a film within a film.
Yeah.
Very complex, complicated.
And a great story. I mean, it's creepy, but it's like, it's very real.
And it tells a full story. Not to
cut
you off.
It really does, yeah.
And Money for Nothing by Dire Straits.
Wow.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
That and Let's Get Rocked by Def Leppard. Not quite as exciting, but
Let's get rocked.
That was that after Pour Some Sugar on Me? I think it was. And then his other films that we have here listed, Electric Dreams. Did you ever see that?
No.
It's kind of like an early version of Her. Well, he does fall in love with a real woman.
Yeah.
So it's like Her crossed with Roxanne, where this computer is telling him what he should say. How does the computer come to life? Well, he spills a big bottle of soda on it.
It's kind of like Secret of the Ooze.
Yes, see, exactly. So his work has a thematic through line.
Yeah.
Bless you, Steve Barron.
Was that his follow-up project to Ninja Turtles?
Yes, it was. Oh, no, I'm sorry. It was well before that. It was his first feature. It was in 1984. I remember seeing it on VHS. Great soundtrack by Giorgio Moroder. Mm. And a lot of, well, you know, actually another Human League connection, Phil Oakey from Human League sang Together in Electric Dreams, which is a big number. And then his other films include, I don't know, Arabian Nights. I don't know that one. No, he had one other, he directed Coneheads.
Coneheads?
He directed Coneheads, which we watched.
The cult classic.
And we watched it. Remember, it was my first time seeing it.
Yes.
During a very altered state.
I do remember I was laying on the floor for most of that.
You were trying to get over a certain kind of hangover, and you decided that 10 a.m. white wine was the thing to do. No, you actually hid behind the couch for a while. You didn't want us to, you said, I don't want you to see me like this.
I had never felt so unlike myself in my entire life. And I don't want to say what we did, but.
No, it was something. It, you know what it was? We worked out too hard the day before. That's all. Beware. You know, don't overdo it.
No, we ate anchovy pizza and we let it sit out too long before we, you know, consumed it.
Well, I'm exposed now for lying about the anchovy pizza, but that's okay. I don't mind. I did say the thing about. So you're getting me back. So tough rocks to me, I guess. What else? Oh, I got a little bit of a list here.
I probably got to go in like just maybe 10 minutes.
Okay. Makes me sad. We'll do a follow-up sometime.
Yeah?
This
is
we'll
fun.
Do a follow-up. This is great.
I want more sound bites.
Oh, okay.
Just from that era. Like I love that Vanilla Ice sound clip. That was really fun.
Let's do a follow-up episode because I know that there is an unlimited amount.
Love to do that. And yeah, I was having a moment. I was a bit all over the place here, but I'm going to say it one more time. Like, that movie, Secret of the Ooze in particular, to this day, is the reason I am madly in love with New York City and pizza. And that's a powerful statement.
And New York pizza, which is legendarily the best kind of pizza.
Forget about it.
Do you have a pizza place that you always go to there? People always talk about that.
I mean, okay. I usually go to whatever's closest, but I do like Joe's.
Yeah.
I like Bleecker Street Pizza, because it was the first pizza I ever had in New York City, and it was a very romantic moment in my life. And then I like Artichoke Pizza.
Mm.
It's really good. It's not literally artichokes on pizza. It's the name of like a chain. I think there's like three or four of them around Manhattan.
It's like a modest chain.
It's really good. And what else? Prince Street, which I think is now in Los Angeles, West Hollywood.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Don't fact check me on that. But I think now, we have a lot of new... Anyways, those are
just... You could make one up and that'd be fine. Because no. I'd go, cool. It's like if you told me names of people on a sports team, I go, okay, I have no idea. Yeah.
Let's not forget. This is where we've been talking about nostalgia.
Yeah.
Domino's and Pizza Hut.
Well, yes. Now, Pizza Hut, I mean, they're still around, right?
Yeah, Pizza Hut's around.
Okay.
That's, you know...
there's so many artisanal pizza places now that I don't remember if that's...
You know who's a huge advocate for Pizza Hut?
Who?
Just plain pan crust cheese, Katie Maloney.
Okay, and I thought maybe favorites. Jax Taylor as
no,
well.
No, one of her favorites.
Really?
I'm down with Pizza Hut too. Papa John's is good. Listen... Domino's is great as long as you get the thin crust, and their cheesy garlic bread's solid too.
It was at one of the Vanderpump events that I had the thin crust for the first time. I always used to go no, because I don't like deep dish anyway from anywhere, but the Domino's deep dish one in particular, I was like, no thank you. The crispy thin one, beautiful, especially when you show up in an event and you're starving and you're like, oh my god, thank god,
it's so good.
It's real good.
I get Domino's no less than once a month. I really do. Yeah.
Cowabunga, was that from The Simpsons? Is that where it came from? Is there a backstory in the comics, which started in 83 to 85?
Yeah. I don't know the origin story for Cowabunga, but I know it's an iconic line, and it's now synonymous with the Ninja Turtles. And
yeah, Bossa Nova never caught on somehow.
Neither did Eccentric.
Donatello. Oh, did they say that?
In the beginning.
He's oh, like, okay.
Eccentric!
Oh, yeah, that's right,
and
yeah.
He's like, Eccentric? There it is, though. He always had a great knack for, you know...
Catch words, really.
Yeah, and eccentric words.
Yeah, they were trying... It's like the thing, you know, not everyone can be Dirty Harry. They're not going to nail it every time. Not everyone can have the power of Schwarzenegger. You know what I mean? What does he say? What's the thing? Go to the chopper? Get to the chopper! Yeah. A lot of good ones. A lot of good ones. He's full of them.
But the witty banter going, we talked about this, but like the banter with the Ninja Turtles, and it you know, it really does make them feel like brothers and like young teenage, like not, you know, teenagers.
No, it's,
you get a sense for that they grew up together and they're super playful and anyways.
Well, no,
funny.
You're right. And interestingly, they're more authentic as like teenagers than the teenager.
Yeah.
In it, Danny.
Yeah.
Who they make him out to
funny.
Be like,
that's funny. Yeah.
Well, he's just like, he looks shell shocked, no pun intended, the whole time. And he's wearing a Sid Vicious t-shirt.
Yeah, he's a troubled youth.
A troubled youth,
which is relatable, but
so troubled that he goes and runs away to the fucking sewer. Which, by the way, April has no problem walking in high heels through that human waste pool.
Yes.
And then they go home and she doesn't change her clothes. No, she's just like, hey guys, come on in. We're gonna, you know what we'll do the next time? We're gonna really lay into all the stuff we didn't get to this time because there's so much. I'll watch one of the other ones. You tell me which one. There's an expanded universe. There's a whole universe here.
We can talk about, you know, the romantic implications between you know, I think it's
Raphael
and April.
And April, yeah.
And also, like, you know, I was always confused about where they poop when they stay with April O'Neil.
See, this is the kind of hard-hitting journalism that we need to do, and we're going to do.
And how do they, you know, do they make money? Do they contribute to the rent?
How do they
buy the pizza?
This is something I was wondering about, too. Two things. How do they make money? How does Casey make money? We'll get back to Casey in a moment, because he also owns a house, however decrepit it might be. How do they get their money? Do they indulge in some of the same pastimes as the teen gangs, who, by the way, operate out of, what is it, Mr. Diaper? What is the place? What's the thing called? First scene, they're like, they're hustling stuff into a van. Mario's Diaper Service.
That's what it is?
Mario's Diaper Service. I wonder if it's like a crossover. Maybe there was a planned crossover between Super Mario Brothers. Have you ever seen that?
No. Oh, we got to come back to that.
We will. We will.
One?
I got to see it
at
the New Beverly at a midnight screening, and the directors came.
Wow.
The articles have been written about it because they finally felt at peace because they were savaged.
Yeah.
And the directors of that film were also music video directors, Annabelle Jankel and Rocky Morton. They directed tons of groundbreaking videos. And She's the sister of Chaz Jankel, a guy that's coming up on the regular show, who wrote tons of stuff. You'd love his stuff. Man, I played it for you.
By the way, Craig, that is so cool. Everything you just told me. Like, I wish I would have been there. I remember it wasn't a critically acclaimed movie. Did it fail?
That's a very nice way to say that.
Did it flop? Did it flop at the box office too?
Massively.
Okay, I'm trying to think back because I'm thinking that's early 90s, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. I got to go back and watch John Leguizamo.
John Leguizamo. Who else was in it? Bob Hoskins.
Yes. Oh my God, dude.
Yeah. He broke his finger like the third day of shooting.
Yeah.
And then he said that he didn't know it was a video game movie.
I've heard this. I've heard this.
Like,
he said yes. I guess
you're doing a lot of research on your scripts, or it was like a starring role. I will take it.
Yeah.
John Leguizamo and him at Hoskins' initiative were drinking. They were drunk almost the whole time. And Dennis Hopper.
Have you already done a segment on this?
No. You know what? We got to do a thing on that.
You want to do a movie club on that movie? I would have to rewatch it.
Yeah, but that's great. I don't know
if I would make enough of a contribution.
No, it doesn't matter.
But I would love to just watch
that.
Would.
Movie club is all about like a movie. What did you think about it? Yeah. Did you enjoy it? The funny things that jump out of you at the abattoir. Things that jump out of you. And sometimes a second viewing is good because I love continuity errors.
Yeah.
They're the essence, the lifeblood of enjoyment with films that are a little off center.
Yeah.
The special effects are great in it. It's really like weird. It's dark and weird. Dennis Hopper is the villain.
Dennis Hopper's in it?
Yeah, he's the villain.
What?
He's the villain.
I'm watching it tonight. I'm going to go back when I get home. I'm going to watch it tonight.
Great.
Because, you know, well, I guess, you know, Mario, Super Mario Brothers is right up there in terms of nostalgia, you know, with Ninja Turtles. I spent a big portion of my life. I've beat almost every Mario up until Paper Mario, if you want to check that.
I will. I didn't even know there was a Paper Mario. There's a
Nintendo, Super Nintendo, GameCube. I've, of course, Nintendo 64. Anyways.
Did you ever have a Game Boy?
Yeah, of course. Game Boy, too. Yeah. Oh, man.
Listen, we're going to have to do one on Super Mario Brothers. You're the perfect guest for it, which solves a problem for me. I've been wondering who would it be? Because also, I've been in contact with Annabelle because I'm friends with her brother, Chaz, who's a music legend, folks. Watch for that episode. He's written songs that Quincy Jones has covered. Not Quincy Jonas, folks. Quincy Jones.
Yeah.
So he's a legend. And you'll love his stuff. I'll send it to you.
Thanks for setting the tone with the pizza before we started.
Hey, look, I like a vibe. Thank you for bringing part of your a fragment of your collection,
a fraction,
a mere sousson of your
This has been fun, and it's good to see you.
It's good to see you. It's great to see you, and I love us doing it on the mic.
It's
great to chat with you anyway, but it's particularly nice to share it with others.
Thank you, brother. Always a great vibe. Always great to be back in West Hollywood, and you know,
gonna I'll do
say
it again
one
soon.
Last time. I've said it before. And I'll say it again, man, I love being a turtle.
I mean, I don't know what else to say besides that, except, you know what? Just like the turtle's first words, my son's first word was pizza as well. Yeah. Isn't that touching?
That's so touching.
Not Dada. I wanted something special and I got it.
Pizza?
Yeah, same way. He said it the same way. It was beautiful. Anyway, with that.
Good to see you, Craig.
Good to see you, buddy. And we'll see you again very soon.
Thanks, Brew.
Part two of this journey into the Mutant Ninja Turtles universe, and then again for Super Mario Brothers. So stay tuned.
Treat yourself right and head on over to patreon.com/Craig and Friends. Look at the reward tiers, see which one jumps out at you that you desire the most, and then just go for it. Grab life by the suspenders and pull at patreon.com/Craig and Friends.